All right, welcome back, Steve. How are you?
Exactly.
Long time no see, buddy.
I know. Here we are, another episode of the PewterCast podcast, the audio platform.
Yes.
Hopefully, if you are listening to this episode, you want to go back and take a listen to the last episode where we got started on what to watch for here in training camp. We went through the entire offense.
Yes.
Position group by position group.
Mm-hmm.
And we're able to go through what you should be looking for as the training camp practices are coming back, are going to get started here in just over a week. So
yes,
we've gone through the offense. Now we get into the defensive side of things. And again,
unfortunately, try to make it shorter this time. Before we get started, we have a special announcement from Manscaped.
Yes, absolutely. As this episode of the PewterCast podcast is presented in part by Manscaped. You've heard me talk about grooming and and why you want to do it, because I've had guys when I was in the Navy. Yes. That didn't know how to groom.
Your Navy friend, he used to shave his balls and his face with the same razor.
The same razor. Blech. Absolutely gross. So don't do it. Use the folks at Manscaped. Manscaped has a brand new fourth generation performance package, which is now available with the all new Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer. You're talking about a 7,000 RPM motor, multifunction on-off switch with a travel lock, a 4,000 Kelvin LED spotlight, so you can tell whether that is a hair or not a shadow. You don't have to worry about answering that question. And the performance package has the lawnmower version 4.0. Also comes with the weed whacker ear and nose hair trimmer, some crop preserver ball deodorant, crop reviver toner, and two free gifts, the shed travel bag and a pair of the Manscaped performance boxer briefs. And you can get it all.
They do a nice rendition of Hello Dolly.
So good. I can see him doing Ragtime Gal, like the frog from the WB.
Hello, my baby. Hello, my darling.
That's right.
Yeah.
But you can get the entire performance package from Manscaped for a discount.
Yes.
Thanks to the PewterCast. You can go to manscaped.com. If you enter the promo code fansided20, you get 20% off of your order and free shipping, and it applies not just to the performance package. If you just need one piece of it, like I said, you only need the weed whacker, the ear and the nose hair trimmer. You only need that. You get it for 20% off and you get some free shipping on it as well. Again, that's manscaped.com, promo code fansided20 for 20% off of your order and free shipping. So
the end. Defense.
Yes. Manscaped helps defend against nastiness in nether regions. Now let's talk about defense in football. At the Advent Health Training Center, what to watch for on the defensive side of the football with the Buccaneers. And so I guess
where do you want to start?
Well, I would start close. We'll start on the interior and work our way out
and back.
Yes. Out and back. So,
which is, by the way, the best way to groom.
Out and back.
Just letting you know. Okay. So interior defensive line, what do you got?
Yes. Well, I mean, obviously, you want to, if you're looking interior defensive line, it's where the old man is. Stevie McClendon, the oldest defensive player in the NFL.
We have the two oldest interior defensive linemen.
Yes.
Yeah, because Sue's the next in line.
Yep, but McClendon's the only one who's over 35. So, I mean, obviously McClendon, Sue, Vita Vea, I would say those are the Nacho, Raheem Nunez, Roaches,
Golston.
Golston. Although I would you consider Golston there, or would you consider him an edge guy?
Like he's not an edge. He's not an edge. He's a 3-5 tech.
Okay.
So he plays inside JPP.
Well, then that definitely puts him in the interior. In so you've got those guys that you know are going to be a part of this. But right. you came up with a name that that seemed to be very interesting.
Yes.
On what to watch for. So I'll let you go with this.
Okay. One. Yeah. Like Steve said, like there's really not sort of any doubt about what the first three guys are, which is Golston, Vea, and Sue, and then sort of like the next backup for the Sue Vea combo, which is going to be McClendon and Nacho. But remember, the Bucks drafted a interior defensive lineman that I didn't really understand when they drafted him, because he was total opposite of what Todd Bowles looks for in a 3/5 tech guy. And that's Khalil Davis out of Nebraska. He wins off the ball speed, twitchiness, shooting gaps and things like that. Very athletic, has done almost absolutely nothing since he's been here. I think this will only be his second year. I think this will be his second year.
So it's
nothing to sort of be up in arms about, but now it's time for him to start getting some playing time, get some rotation. He needs to start showing some things, and that would be, if you care about the interior defensive line and you want to see sort of what they have in the hopper, or someone goes down, or you know what they got coming up in the farm system, Khalil Davis is the guy to watch. Of course, there's Patrick O'Connor there, who probably may or may not make the team. There's a couple other guys there, but the exciting one, the one that the Bucks liked enough to draft, he was a day three pick, is Khalil Davis. And I'm really sort of excited to ask about him and see what people say about him, because it's kind of put up or shut up time for him. You know, I heard Coach Loke talk about him, Coach Lori Locust, the assistant defensive line coach, talk about him. And, you know, she was talking about Will Golston, and she's like, he's so underrated. Like, he led the team in quarterback pressures. He led the team in quarterback hits. Like, he's just like a half a second short all the time. He gets more pressure than anybody on the interior defensive line. And everyone's like, oh, really? And then they asked about Dave, and he's like, well, he's eager to learn. And he tries hard, and you know, so this is like a big put up shut up year for Davis. But besides that, you know, you kind of hit it, Steve. Like, these are your there's five top guys, and then after that it's Davis, and then it's a bunch of guys that will just be happy to make the team.
Yeah, I would think that guys like Patrick O'Connor, who did he even get a game where he was not inactive last year?
Yeah, he got a sack last year.
That's right, he did.
Yeah,
I just remember it seemed like almost every week when I was having to put together 90 minutes before kickoff, when I would get the inactives and I'd put them together, and because I would have to write them up for Ronnie.
Yeah,
so we had them for the pregame show, and it's like, okay, I'm like, the guys that I know are going to be on that list, you know, quarterback Ryan Griffin.
Yeah.
Defensive end Patrick O'Connor, tight end Tanner Hudson. You know, I could see
a couple of offensive linemen.
Yeah.
We used to do that on our Friday show a couple of years ago.
You know, predict the inactives.
Yeah. And after like 2 years of doing it, we're just like, it's like we got like we
know exactly.
Yeah, we know who they are. Like, it's not even fun anymore. There's no like sort of like back and forth. It'd come down to like one guy, and we'd be trying to make stuff up. We'd be Steve Florioing. Like, well, you know, we may need the fourth back this week because it's a weak run defense and they might want to keep guys fresh. Like, we were doing stuff like that where it's like, no, they're not. Like, LeSean McCoy is not being activated. Like, so anyway,
yeah, that was the running back LeSean McCoy.
So,
but, But yeah, so, you know, for so guys like O'Connor and the like, and, yeah. and even Davis, you know, there if he's the sixth defensive interior defensive lineman,
yeah,
you know, there's a strong possibility that he ends up being inactive
yeah.
At times. So
he needs to make a jump this year. He needs yeah. to be the he needs to be. I would be happy with five. Like, okay, lie. I'd be satisfied with five. I'd be happy with four.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I would be.
Yeah. I mean, you're satisfied with five and happy with four, but you know, the only problem is if you go with four and one of them gets banged up and
No. Them. I mean in order.
Like, oh,
Sue via Golston are 1, 2, 3.
Yeah.
The next guy who gets the most amount of snaps off the bench, I'd be happy if it was Davis. I'd be okay with it if he was the fifth guy that got the most snaps.
Okay.
You know, so he jumps ahead of like Nacho. And McClendon. I know like Nacho plays a lot of zero or one tech Vita Vea, so it's not really comparing apples to apples here, but anyway, you know what I'm saying. But yeah,
but
that's
if you're seeing Khalil Davis getting more playing time than yes. than say McClendon.
Yes.
That's where you want to be. All right. So let's move to the outside portion of the
draft pick.
Line. Yes. We get to talk about a draft pick that isn't an interior lineman this time.
Oh yeah.
So we're looking at the edge on the defensive line. So the JPPs, the Shaq Barretts, and the Joe Tryons.
Yes.
Number 32 overall pick. And I would assume that most of the questions that will be coming about the edge are going to be focused on.
What do you want to see from Tryon during the preseason? Because Shaq and JPP, of course, are going to start unless they have a game where no starters start. But the bulk of the snaps in preseason games are mm-hmm. going to go to Anthony Nelson.
Yep.
Fourth round pick out of Iowa a couple years ago. And Joe Tryon. Like those yep. are the clear number, I guess, three and four guys right now. And then you got like Gill, who actually got a half sack in the Super Bowl. And Tristan Wirfs was like, you know, rave reviews about him. But what would you like to see? What would you be happy with? What you see from Joe Tryon in the preseason game?
Yeah, in the preseason, I would love to see him pushing or getting down the field, you know, north south wise
up the field.
Yes, okay. Yeah, I'm talking about going north. Yeah, going yeah. north south or south north. If
going to the quarterback.
There. Yes, I want to see him taking an edge lineman and you know a tackle. And making that tackle move backwards.
Gotcha. You want to see some power? Because do you think he has the speed?
I'd like to see him turn the corner. You know, I would. That's the thing for me is how
you
well
see some
is,
bend.
Yeah, I, that's exactly what I'm looking for. How well can Joe Tryon turn the corner at this level?
Yeah,
That I think is going to be because I think we know what we're going to get out of Anthony Nelson. You know what you're going to get out of Gill. You don't know what you're going to get out of Tryon. And I would love to see how he looks even at 60% speed in the practices leading up to the first game against a Donovan Smith or mm-hmm. against a Tristan Wirfs. Mm-hmm. You know, how well is he turning? Does he look turning the corner there? Because
yeah.
he's not going full speed there, most likely.
Yeah, here's the thing about Tryon, that if you're not sort of super familiar, I mean, you know, he played edge, you know, he played at Washington and this and that. It was really starting to click for him the second half, sort of like the last six or four ball games in 2019, mm-hmm. because he opted out for 2020. But it was kind of a weird thing because the Pac-12, everyone else was already playing. The Pac-12 was like, well, we're not going to play. Then everyone started playing. They go, okay, we will play, but we'll only play six games. But by that time, Joe Tryon had already moved to California and started training for the draft. So he's like, well, I mean, I don't want to come back and play like four games. Like, why would I do that? I think my draft status is sort of stuck where it is. But if you look at those last four games at Washington, that's where he got all his sacks. It just... that's halfway through that season in 2019, it clicked for him.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what people are excited about. I want to see his speed too. I want to see what he has in his toolbox. Sort of like, does he have the hand slap? Does he have the hook? You know, does he swim have the swim move? Does he have an outside inside move? Does he have an outside out or inside outside move? Outside inside? Does he have the spin? Like, what does he have in his toolbox? What are we working with? That's what I want to see. Those are the things I want to be reported on. And I also want to see him drop back, because in a Todd Bowles defense, those edge guys drop back. I think JPP dropped back 100 times last year. So he's got to do that. Anthony Nelson, I kind of think we're stuck to see with what he got, mm-hmm. what we have here. But I think that he's going to get his most opportunities. You know, he could just be a rock steady Eddie. That's kind of where I'm capped out at him. Every once in a while, he'll make a splash play. Like, you know, he has caused some fumbles. I've seen him bat down a couple of passes. He doesn't get to play a lot, so you really don't know if that's sort of like a trait for him, you know, just kind of being Johnny on the spot and making those sort of plays, or he's just happened to be in the right place at the right time, the handful of plays that he's in there. So that's what I'll be watching out. I wouldn't be surprised the way I hear people talk about Gill overtake Anthony Nelson by the end of preseason. Mm-hmm. I don't really know a lot about Gill. I can't. There was two guys that were small school guys that were edge rushers. And I think one went to the practice squad and one made the team. And Gill was one of them. And one's from Wagner. And I don't know if that's Gill or not. One's like from Wagner, and one's from Prairie View. But anyway, so that's the thing to look for. You're going to hear a ton about Joe Tryon. You want to see how he can drop back. You want to see what he has in his toolbox. And you want to see Anthony Nelson going into year three here, who's never played a preseason game, by the way, because he blew his hammy before the first one his rookie year. And then, of course, last year there was no preseason. So
yeah,
you want to see Anthony Nelson go up against some number twos. And that's what I want to see him sort of dominate. I don't care about Tryon dominating. Anthony Nelson, his third year, needs to dominate some number two left and right tackles. He needs to be able to be, you watch him win reps constantly, you know, and continually. And that's kind of what I'm looking for on the edge.
Yeah, I think that makes sense, especially on the edge, some of the guys that you're looking for. I mean, because just looking at what the depth chart looks like right now with the Buccaneers, once you get beyond those guys that we've talked about, depth-wise, Tryon, Anthony Nelson, Cam Gill. I mean, you know, Jeremiah Ledbetter.
Hung around, hasn't really done anything.
There's another guy that I always knew I could draw.
Yeah,
I could
there you put go. Up
in there.
Jeremiah inactive.
Yeah, Jeremiah was inactive. I look at those, you know, these are guys that are hoping that somebody gets hurt so they can maybe have
somebody gets hurt, hang on to the practice squad, something like that. I think Ledbetter's time's up. He's been around like 3-4 years now.
Yeah.
He's active sometimes, but I've never really seen him do much. But you know, maybe it clicks for him, who knows? But here's the problem with a person like Jeremiah Ledbetter being the fifth edge rusher, okay? You mm-hmm. know, sort of in the depth chart. Well, what if they do want to keep Watson for special teams? Now you're at seven wide receivers. Well, what if you want to do keep an extra interior offensive lineman because you're deep there? What if you wanted to keep an extra corner or safety? Because we'll get there, because we're also very deep there. Mm-hmm. What if you want to keep an extra tight end? Because the first three all can make the Pro Bowl. They're not going to this year, but they all have the talent to do it. And what you want to keep another guy for special teams on some type of on the protection package. So finding that extra roster spot because you're a good player, like I really like this guy, I think he can turn into something. Going into your fourth year for Ledbetter, it's almost too late for that, and this roster is just too deep, and they're just not gonna like Ledbetter's not good enough to take a spot away from Justin Watson.
No,
he's not good enough to take a spot away from the fifth safety, from the fifth. Six cornerback, like he's just not. So he's in a tough spot.
Yeah, he certainly is. Like I'm just going through and looking at this. It's like, okay, like who, if I was going to want to keep a Jeremiah Ledbetter or, like let's go into the next group.
Sure. Yeah.
And we'll go into the interior linebackers.
Right.
If you were looking at, say, well, this guy's not an interior. When I was looking at Ladarius Hamilton, he's an outside, linebacker.
He's another edge guy.
Yeah. He's another edge guy, but would you want to keep, Jeremiah Ledbetter over Ladarius Hamilton?
Yeah. Well, going inside linebacker, you got David and White, of course. White, then you got Minter.
Yeah.
And then you got probably one of the kids that they drafted.
Yeah, Britt or Stewart.
Yeah. So do you want to keep both of them? Because obviously they poured a lot of resources into special teams this draft. So would you want to keep Stewart and what's his name? What's the other guy's name?
KJ Britt.
Thank you, Britt. Britt and Stewart, because you're really trying to put an emphasis and bring some sort of like spark and energy and like some turnovers, some splash plays, or are you going to keep Jeremy Ledbetter?
Yeah, I'd be keeping both of the draft. I mean, let's be honest. One of these guys, probably Stewart, is destined to be on that first round of cuts going to the getting ready for the practice squad.
Right.
I would think that's, although, and really you think about it, both of these guys could end up in that stretch.
Well, who's going to be the fourth interior linebacker then? Off ball linebacker.
Well, I mean, they did pick up Joseph Jones from Denver.
That's right. That's right. And he's very good at special teams.
So another special team specialist. Yeah, and so they could end up being both destined for practice squad. Heaven,
I feel bad for Britt though. Cause if this was like 2005, he would have been like a day two pick.
Yeah.
He's everything you want a linebacker. He just can't fricking run. He can't cover, like worse than Quan. I know I used to complain about Devin White, but Devin White has the ability.
Yes.
Britt just doesn't have the speed. He just can't run with these guys. It's kind of stupid. He can't run. He ran like a 4.6 and I run like a 5.5. So I mean, faster than me.
And I run a 5 minute and 30 second 40
yard dash, but you have a hell of a time.
That's right. a 5.30, but it's 5 minutes and 30 seconds.
So, I mean, yeah, so I kind of feel bad for Britt. But anyway, I wanted to say that, but yeah, so yeah, you're right. And so now again, this is the last time I'll bring up the Ledbetter thing, but if you want to keep Britt and or Stewart on the roster for special teams, like Ledbetter, bye.
He gone.
Yeah. So anyway, so yeah. So I guess that's a real short conversation.
Yeah.
Interior linebackers.
Yeah. I mean, like the thing you're going to be looking at are the two draftees to me.
Joseph Jones. If Joseph Jones doesn't become a leader on special teams, I think the team will go with the younger guys in the draft picks because they're cheaper.
Yeah.
So Joseph Jones has something to prove, but it's not going to be too hard being a pro and understanding the defense and, be able to sort of be a leader in the room to stay in front of those kids and, get them jettisoned to the practice squad. It's not going to be that hard. But if he doesn't come in and sort of like have the attitude that they're trying to take this away from me and think that I've got the spot, he'll be out on his keister pretty fast. So,
yeah,
that's what you'd be looking at the interior linebacker spot and watch special teams. It's Jones, it's Britt and Stewart.
Yep. And I think it makes sense that those are the three guys that if you're watching them, those are the guys that you want to watch. Because you know what you're getting out of everybody else. All right.
Yeah.
Let's get into the defensive backfield.
All right.
Let's start in the safeties.
Okay.
Obviously, Antoine Winfield, mm-hmm. Jordan Whitehead.
Yep.
Mike Edwards.
Mm-hmm.
You're looking at those guys. Those are the guys that You know that they went out. There's a couple of, I believe they're undrafted, undrafted guys that they also will have to look at. And Lawrence White, Augie Contressa. Those are, I mean, to me, and Javon, and of course, Javon Hagan. That's another name.
I was all upset they didn't bring back Dakota Dixon. Trying to make the team.
Yeah.
He was a guy from a couple years from Wisconsin, and they redshirted him, and then now he's gone.
Yeah, he had a didn't he have like a knee thing in like the fourth game of the
the fourth preseason practice. Like this was 2018. So I got to go where I was. I didn't get to, but I was at every practice, and Dakota Dixon kept popping like early on, like day one in pads, popping, popping, popping. And then he hurt himself, and as the Bucks do. You've seen it with Kenny Bell. You saw it with Dakota Dixon. There's one other player where it's like, okay, we like you. You may not be good enough to make the team, but you're hurt, okay? And we're going to pay you, and you're going on IR, and we'll see you next year.
Yeah.
But you're going to come to all the practices and all that kind of stuff. And
yeah, you're gonna get to do your rehab here.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, we'll take care of that.
You have a job, you have no bills, have no medical bills, like just hang out. And then for 2020 he just I don't know if they brought him back or not. He's kind of disappeared. No, they did bring him back, but he didn't make the team, and I think he hung around. That's right. He hung around on the practice squad till October. And then when 2020 round came around, I was expecting him to re-sign him, and they didn't. And they kind of bummed me out. So here's the thing to look at it for safeties for me. Is Mike Edwards here can take the step to sort of push Jordan Whitehead out the door. And, you know, I like Jordan Whitehead a lot. I don't think he's a very good center field safety, sideline to sideline guy, but he can come up and play the edge and play that Joker linebacker very well, especially setting the edge on any kind of outside run. He will come up and make the tackle, and he'll hurt you, and he might get a fumble, and he's fearless, and that's what he does best at. He's a great tackler. Mike Edwards is awesome at center field. He's a ball hawk. He can play sideline to sideline. You know what he's not?
He's not a tackler.
he's improving, but he's not, and that's why he hasn't been on the field. Like, they started him, and then after a couple games, they're like, you know what? We're going with Adams. We're going with Andrew Adams, or, you know, who was now a free agent and gone. And he couldn't get on the field. So they wouldn't got Winfield. Winfield, of course, the darling, Deuces Winfield, he can do both. He can play center field and he can tackle. So he's there. What I'm looking for is, can Edwards tackle well enough to push Whitehead out? Because Whitehead's not going to improve anymore on playing the sort of center field. Plus, I think this is fourth year, so his contract's up and he'll be a free agent. The entire back, I don't know, I guess we'll call it back five, the entire secondary, the Buccaneers, are still all the starters are on rookie deals, all of them. They're all on rookie deals still, so they're really cheap. and with Jensen coming up and Kappa coming up and Godwin, of course, coming, these are all contracts coming up next year. There's lots of contracts after we talked about. If Edwards can take the job from Whitehead, it wouldn't, you know, it would make sense sort of in the trying to save money type of thing. Not that they don't Whitehead back, but would Whitehead want to come back if he's, you know, if he doesn't start? Would he want to sign, you know, re-up with the Buccaneers? So that's kind of what I'm looking at. Can Edwards take that next step to sort of push Whitehead out the door for the 2022 season? Winfield's, he's locked in gold. I think Hagan's going to be the guy. Javon Hagan's going to be the fourth guy, you know, and that's that. That's what I'm looking at.
Yeah, and to be honest, that's probably the biggest thing that you can look at right now is the battle between, you know, Mike Edwards and Jordan Whitehead. I think you're absolutely right on that. All right, so let's move out to the corners here.
Sure.
You know, everybody, if you have met me or if you have listened to me for just even a second, you know what my big what to watch for is out on the corners. I mean, because a lot of it, you know, is going to be set. Carlton Davis, Jamel Dean, Murphy Bunning.
Yep.
You've got Ross Cockrell back.
Yes.
John Franklin wearing a single digit number as
John Franklin was the quarterback from like, go tell a story. 'Cause I'm not sure.
Yeah. He was, I want to say he was from,
was it FIU or something?
Yeah. FAU or FIU, not FGCU, but yeah, he was one of the smaller schools here, in Florida. And they tried him as a wide receiver.
Yeah, he's just super athletic. Can do anything you ask him to do. But so, can he do it at NFL pro level?
Yeah. So we found out that he can't be a wide receiver at the NFL pro level. So they've moved him to the other side of the football. And so he's around. The name that everybody will be talking about and everybody will be looking at is Cameron Kinley.
And why is that?
Well, let's put it this way.
Sure.
He got the Secretary of Defense, the third highest member of the executive branch when it comes to the military, to be actually he's the second highest person in the military, to grant him a waiver from his military commitment. He's a guy that graduated from the Naval Academy and was undrafted. And if you know about how things usually go when it comes to military.
How do things usually go?
Well, it's real easy. Okay. If you are drafted, normally they give you a waiver so
which
that
you
can,
don't have to serve your 4 years right away. You can serve them after your pro career is over.
Yes. Or you can serve them if you can, and in the NFL, this wouldn't happen. You could serve them in a reserve fashion. As opposed
during
to
the off season,
or you know they could make you they could transfer you to inactive ready reserves and you can serve your 4 years. You won't get paid your military pay, but if you're drafted, they can do that if they want. They could have you serve your
But you're, if you're not drafted,
but if you're not drafted, normally you don't get the waiver.
And that's what happened to him.
Cameron Kinley originally did not get the waiver.
Mm-hmm.
And so he appealed the request up his chain of command. Mm-hmm. And it got all the way past the Secretary of the Navy to the Secretary of Defense.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the head of the Defense Department, a cabinet level person that said, you know what? We'll let you do it. We'll let you try. Go ahead. You know, so, and if you make the team, the waiver will stick. And if you don't make the team, you know, we'll,
into the
we'll
brig
what
with
happens.
You.
Into the brig. off to school. But yeah, so I think everybody is very excited to see Cameron Kinley. Navy guys, you know, if you look at, you know, Navy guys around the NFL, you know, from Roger Staubach to Phil McConkie to
Phil McConkie was a Navy guy.
Phil McConkie went to the Naval Academy.
Who was the last guy? He was like a running back.
He was the quarterback. Oh God. And he was with Baltimore.
I want to say Ronaldo Nehemiah, but it's not that.
No, Ronaldo Nehemiah was
a sprinter from but it was something he had like a weird last name. I thought he was a big running back.
No.
That hung around for like 2 or 3 years.
Then Napoleon McCallum.
Okay,
was a Navy guy.
Yeah,
but
that's who I'm thinking of.
But there was, he was drafted by the Ravens. Keenan Reynolds. That's what I was thinking of. He was drafted by Baltimore. He was like the best Navy quarterback since Roger Staubach. He was fantastic. He got drafted as a wide receiver. So
what's this kid's name again?
Cameron Kinley.
Is he going to make the team?
I think he's a practice squad kid.
The Navy like hold off if he?
I don't know. That's a good question.
All right. Hey everybody, there's the question to ask.
Cameron Kinley doesn't make
the team, but makes the practice squad. Makes it through waivers and makes the practice squad or someone else's team.
Yeah.
Because real quick, a refresh for everybody going through this year. If you're not a vested veteran, when you're cut, you don't become a free agent. You got to go through waivers. But if someone No, that's not true. You got to go through waivers and you make someone's team. But you got to stay on their team, I think, for 2 weeks. No, that's if someone picked up the practice squad. Yeah, so there's that refresher. Yeah, if another team picks a player off the Buccaneers off their practice squad, they got to stay on that team's roster, their main 53-man roster, for 2 weeks before they can move them to their practice
squad.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
That's what I was trying to say, but I thought it had to do with cuts, but it didn't.
Yep. So there's the guy that
do you
I know.
Do you think that he can unseat Ross Cockrell? I mean, we know you're hoping he can.
I'm hoping he can.
Right.
I don't know if he can. You know.
Spoiler alert, everyone. Steve used to be in the Navy.
Yes.
As we told with the friend and the shaver. Yeah, he used to watch the little dial in the Navy submarines and make sure it stayed out of the red.
The aircraft.
Down in the engine. Place. Oh, was it? Aircraft carrier?
Oh, yeah. I would never get on something that's designed to sink.
Okay.
No thanks on submarines. Submarines, giant.
Can you cover the rays like when they're bad?
Yeah.
So, there you
go. Yeah, I produced the rays when they were bad. So
when they were designed to sink.
Yeah.
Well, anyway,
they had already sunk. No, for me, I think that the person that you should be looking at, you know, is he good enough to unseat Chris Wilcox, who they drafted in the 7th round?
There you go. Chris Wilcox.
Can he get ahead of Chris Wilcox? And that I think is possible.
Yeah, because they're going to keep 5 corners.
Mm-hmm.
So Cockrell is kind of what I'm sort of hoping Anthony Nelson, the edge, turns into is rock steady Eddie, man. Like, he never out of position, makes tackles. He makes a splash play every once in a while. It'll be like, oh, wow, stop on the goal line. And Cockrell gets up out of the pile. And you're like, I didn't know he was in the game.
Yeah.
You know?
When did he get there?
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you're keeping 5 corners, you're going to keep Davis, Jamel Dean, Murphy Bunning, Cockrell. And then the question, and then it's okay. Do you keep Wilcox? Franklin, Kinley,
down to those guys. Wilcox, the drafted guy, he's right in their wheelhouse as far as size and speed. I'm a little susceptible about his speed because he ran like a 3.39, and he's never run that before, and he shocked himself. But that was like his pro day speed. Mm-hmm. So I don't think he's really that fast. It was just, might have been one of those runs for the lifetime. He's probably more of a 4.3 guy, 4.4 guy, but he's tall and he's long, like Davis and Dean. And he hasn't missed a tackle since like 2018, which is another special teams gunner with his speed and length type of pick. Then you talk about Franklin, who's just uber athletic, really behind the ball, never played the position in college, probably never played in high school. And then you got this kid from the Navy who is an exceptional person. He was like president of his class. He gave the speech when Kamala Harris showed up at the Naval Academy. Yep. He is not bashful about saying that I'm going to run for one day for the president of the United States. Everyone loves this kid, super mature, always does the right thing. You know, he's like the Naval Academy's version of Tim Tebow, right down to like, he might not be good enough to play in the NFL. So that's what you're looking at a corner. I want to say is, and you're not going to see this in preseason, it's going to be more of a season thing, is I would like to see Jamel Dean not do his up and down. I would like to see him sort of playing out somewhere, to the point where, of course, I want him to plane out a little higher. But his roller coaster of his play where, you know, it's like, oh, what a great game by Dean. And the next game gives up 2 touchdowns. And then, oh, what a great game by Dean. And then he gives up like 165 yards. Mm-hmm. So I'd like to be that more consistent. I'd also like to see Sean Murphy Bunting continue his after bye week play. But, you know, that's a little hard to ask because he had 3 interceptions in the playoffs. But it seems that it really clicked for him. Carlton Davis went from a guy that, like, we were kind of after year one going, ugh. At the end of year 2, we're like, this guy can be somebody. And now at the end of year 3, we're like, he's top 10 easy. Like,
yep.
But he can be a top 5 corner. You know, he's not terribly athletic as corners goes. Like, he doesn't have super oily hips. You know, he's not super fast. He understands the game. He understands what receivers are trying to do to him. And he's smart and he's great with anticipation, and he's big and long and strong. So like receivers really can't bully him. So I know this is more of a season thing, but it's really what I'm looking at is Dean, because you're not going to be able to see it in the preseason. It's more consistency from him. Sean Murphy Bunting, stay on that trajectory, and then Carlton Davis, you know, become a Pro Bowler, maybe even an All Pro. And then Cockrell's going to make the team, I'm almost certain. And then, yeah, and it's that battle for really, it's going to be the kid, you know, true man crush, what Steve's got. What's his name again?
Cameron Kinley.
Future President of the United States.
First of his name.
Okay,
first
down.
Of his name, leaders of the Andals and the first man, okay, protector of the seven kingdoms.
God, thank you. Against Wilcox, the tall, lanky kid from BYU, has missed a tackle in like
and Franklin
3 years. No, not Franklin. He's not going to make it. Okay. I mean, he'll be fun to watch, but I just think he's so far behind the eight ball with the talent this group has. Like, I just yes, he's a good story because he's a local kid, but you know,
yeah,
we'll see.
All right, so last thing that we'll take a look at here.
Sure.
It's got to be special teams.
Sure.
Because we really haven't talked a whole lot about special teams, and John Swamp Thing 352 is asking, so what's the deal
here?
Yeah. What's the deal for kick returner, punt returner? Yes, if you're
you typed that question 35 minutes ago.
I know. I'm sorry, John.
No. It's all right. I mean, that's the way it goes, man.
Yeah.
Sorry,
well, and what
jump
ends up
the gun, John?
Well, and what ends up happening is, and for those of you that are listening to the podcast, we're running these back to back to back, or we're recording these back.
We're doing all these live. As one live on YouTube. And I'm going to break them up into three episodes.
So we're
now talk too goddamn much.
Yeah. Because we like to flap our lips. Yeah. We're already an hour and 45 minutes in, here tonight. So, but the, you know, special teams. So,
yes.
What is the deal with kick returner / punt returner now that Mickens is being locked up?
I saw this. Do you know exactly what's going on with that? I guess Mickens got into some legal trouble. Is that true?
Yeah, I don't know
much about it. I really don't care, to be honest, because I think Jalen Darden, but as Steve likes to call him, Jaden Darling, is going to take the job. That's why he's here. He's a small guy from North Texas. They took him at the beginning of day three in the fourth round. He led the nation in touchdowns. He led the nation in he led the nation in scoring touchdowns from the wide receiver position. Mm-hmm. He's very explosive. He's very quick. He's a lot sturdier than you think he is. So he's got some bulk to him. He's not going to be Scotty Miller, and he's not going to break. His catching the ball and be able to turn, transition that into going upfield is really fast. It's really good. I think that's really where his strength is, and beating people off the offensive line with his feet. So he's kind of like an Antonio Brown, really. I think that's his closest sort of skill set to anybody on this team. But given the way the wide receiver room looks, he's going to return kicks. He also did that and was very well at North, did it really well at North Texas. And we don't have a punt returner because apparently Mickens is in jail forever, according to Swamp Thing. So that's what's going to be, you know, on special teams. That's what you want to look for. He's going to win the punt job unless he completely implodes, but I don't think he is. And then we'll see. I hope he wins the kickoff job too, but we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah. Yeah. And if you're curious, the report is that he is being charged with two misdemeanors after being arrested with a gun back in March. So we're just hearing about this now.
Yeah. Probably had to show for court date.
Yeah. So, you know, I look at it this way, you know, one of two things is going to happen with Jadon Mickens. Either he's going to get arrested or he's going to get convicted and he's going to get taken off the roster, or the Bucks are going to cut him because they don't want that sort of thing in their locker room.
Misdemeanor gun charge. I mean, you don't even know what it is. Who cares? Misdemeanor gun charge. What?
Guns.
So, oh, you own a gun? You're off my team.
Two tickets to the gun. You better have two tickets to the gun show. but you're right.
Guns. Thank you. You're done.
done. You're done. You've got a gun.
Yeah, we can't be friends.
You've got a gun. I can't
and you should
it.
Be killed with a gun, by the way. Since you own a gun. That's but only the government can have guns.
Maybe you can shoot yourself like Plaxico Burst. But you're right. You know, Jalen Darden is the guy that if you're looking kick returner, punt returner wise, and then you know whether you have to have Scotty Miller do kickoffs or you know sneak. I don't think you're going to use sneak in there, but you know really
Charles
it's
Sims.
Charles Sims, oh, Lord help us, oh my God, Charles Sims. I never got Charles Sims. Let's just.
He was a good player. I was the only person. Like Ira Coffin says a lot of things. I'm just like, no, wrong, incorrect. Nope, don't believe it. Ira Coffin's love for Charles Sims, I'm lockstep with. I have no idea why he wasn't on the team. He got a thousand yards from scrimmage.
1,000 yards from scrimmage there, Ren.
That's what I want. Year he was off the team, and it's like, why? Doug Martin was just 53 yards from setting the rushing record that year. I think he was less than 100, and he had like 30 less carries than whoever won it that year. I don't remember. And the same year, Charles Sims had 1,000 combined yards from scrimmage, and then he didn't make the team next year. And it's like, why? Charles Sims always made the first guy miss, always, out in space. Always made the first guy miss.
You know what he couldn't make miss? Injury.
That's true. Didn't Okwuegbuale run up his back in a preseason game and that was it? I think that's what happened.
Yeah. Sorry.
I mean, targeted him. Like, that guy's in the depth chart. Like, ran right up his back.
There you go.
On a kickoff.
Thanks, Dari. And then you know, everything else, special teams wise, doesn't really.
And there's no competition.
Yeah. Now I saw that they brought in some, oh God, I'm gonna
kid from Miami.
Yeah, I'm gonna butcher this name.
Sure.
Let's see, where is it? Jose Borregales.
Sure, if you say so.
Yeah, Borregales.
But apparently, he won the kicking award, like whatever the kicking trophy is,
the Lou Groza Award.
Yeah, is that the best kicker in college?
In college, yeah.
Yeah, so he's here. But he's not going to win because we don't care. Like, I don't care if he can, unless then we'll keep him on for the long, but we have Pinion for the long ones.
Yeah.
That's why Pinion's.
What's going to happen is this guy is Kai Forbath.
Yeah. You're going to have to help me on that.
All right. Kai Forbath was here. God, now it's like 6 or 7 years ago.
Let's not make this a long story.
Yeah. So, but he was with the team through training camp, got cut at the end of training camp, and then Washington picked him up, and he was their kicker for like 3 or 4 years.
Oh, okay. So, great.
So that's what he's going
to
be.
He's here to put some stuff on film and hopefully get picked up
and get picked up somewhere else.
Yeah. All right.
That's what Borregales is.
Cephal Blue Cow. that's what we're. Oh, Cephal Lufau was him. Cepho Lufau.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Hard knocks here. The training camp arm. The guy that moves. What's your job? Oh, I'm trying to make the team. No. Like, you're moving the dummies around between drills, Cephal. Like, you're not making the team. You're gonna play the half of the third and all the fourth quarter of the fourth preseason game.
Yep.
And hope you get out with your legs.
Yep. You're gonna hang out over here with Vincent Testaverde.
Exactly. Yes. In the floor.
Exactly.
All right. But, where are we at? Yeah. So Suckup's gonna be there. Pinion's gonna be. Trainer's gonna snap. Pinion's punting. Suckup's kicking. Jalen Darden, if he doesn't completely implode, is going to win the kicking job.
Yeah.
The end.
Yeah. Scotty Miller, Tyler Johnson, if he does.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
That's it.
All right.
That's it for what to watch for.
Yeah.
So that's
we're actually going to take a break after this.
Yes. That is part two.
Part deux.
Yeah.
This week.
Part two of three. We got one more to go. If you're watching us live on YouTube or Periscope,
you're a sadist.
Yes,
because we're 2 hours in.
Lord help us. If you're listening to the podcast, you're going to get one more as we'll get into finally the Ring of Honor.
Yes, this should be fun.
This one should be an interesting one. So yes. We'll get into that. Before we take a break and Ren can go use the bathroom and I can go use the bathroom, to be honest.
Yes.
Give us the Ren addiction.
Make fun of my tiny bladder.
Oh, trust me. I got thimble bladder as well sometimes. Give us the Ren addiction. Where can they find you?
Best place to find me is on Twitter at the PeterCast. I'm always down to talk Buccaneers football. But if your take is too hot and you don't want to put it out there on the Twitter's verse, and feel free to slide into my DMs. I'm messing this all up. Feel free to slide in my DMs where I will talk Buccaneers football there as well too.
And you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Steve Carney. Check me out. The non-Buck stuff at stpete9.com. So for everybody that's still watching us on YouTube, God bless you. We'll be back in a second. And if you're listening to the audio podcast of this, coming up, we will have a look at tomorrow. The Ring of Honor. Coming up tomorrow, a look at the Ring of Honor. We'll talk to you then.